101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor. He spends an hour in here answering your questions that you can shoot to us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Justin Dixon joining us. He had to step out and take a quick call. So let me start with the Shreveport City budget, Mayor, and the 3% pay raise. We spoke with Grayson Butcher yesterday, who kind of broke down the pay raise, which is I was more encouraged that as opposed to just like last time was 15% across the board. This time you are breaking it down to try to give those that make less money a little more.
Yeah. The raise will not, the 3% will not apply to people making $75,000 or more, which turns out, and that does not apply fire. So the police and fire get 2% plus 3%.
Mm-hmm.
The other city employees, and part of the reason it'll end up being delayed till May 1st is that they're really not very many of those people.
Right.
In outside of fire and police. The vast mm-hmm. majority of the people that make $75,000 or more are firemen and policemen.
Is this sustainable in your view? You actually wanted a 3% for all.
Correct.
Just because I think your reasoning, and you can help me if I'm wrong, is that the folks that are right there hovering at the 75,000, you might have somebody that you're supervising that might now surpass you.
Correct.
And that causes ill will.
Well, it causes ill will. It causes problems with our civil service charts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that only is going to affect literally a handful of people will
okay.
be able to figure out how to fix that.
Okay.
And we'll work on it. Hopefully we'll be able to do something else. Everybody's cost of living mm-hmm. has increased, and our thought was it was relatively meager. I wish it could be more, and we're looking at what it takes to bring our rank and file, what I call our rank and file folks, mm-hmm. folks actually, repair the water mains and the sewer issues and fix the potholes and
picking up trash and all that. Yeah.
Pick up mm-hmm. the trash. We'd like to have those people up. We still had a handful of people making less than $15 an hour. That'll be fixed.
Okay.
That one is a relatively easy fix because most of them were in the 14-something
right.
category. So, and they're not all that many of them, so we'll do that.
There was a proposition an idea maybe floated about giving police raise but not firefighters. I think one of the council members did that. Where is that moving forward? Is that still being discussed?
Because I'm sure it will still be discussed. Generally speaking, and historically, they have been kind of in lockstep with each other,
mm-hmm.
Fire and police. And I'm not sure that there's a political appetite to decouple them.
Mm.
The issue, of course, becomes that if your real issue is with police recruitment,
mm-hmm.
Then if you do not decouple them, then it basically costs twice as much to do for one because you're doing for both.
There is concern, too, Mayor, that, and it happens in the private sector, too, we all know it, that health insurance costs keep going up and that this 3% raise might just be sucked up by increases in health insurance premiums. Are city workers facing that?
City workers are facing, I think, a 5% increase. Now, remember, that's not 5% of their salary.
Sure,
it's 5%
right.
of their premium.
Right.
The city pays 76% of that,
okay.
of that premium. So the vast majority of the increase, and there is a small increase this year, the vast majority of that increase is borne by the city of Shreveport as opposed by a worker. And that is something that people don't necessarily count on when they're looking at compensation.
Right.
The health insurance benefits are very, very generous. And that's a good thing. I'm delighted that they are. Those are, of course, not taxed. That's a fringe benefit that is not taxed, but it's a real benefit that has a real price tag attached to it.
Mm-hmm. The 3% you're confident will help retain workers in our community. You're hoping?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think it will. Most of our city workers are very loyal. You know, last week we had the employee appreciation dinner Thursday night, and it really is always astounding the number of people who have worked for the city for 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they do have, the other thing to remember is that they have a very healthy retirement.
Right.
And that is worth something too.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide health insurance. We provide most of the payments for retirement insurance too. So we are a fairly generous employer if you consider the entire package.
Okay. Can we talk about data centers when we come back?
Sure.
Because there's a lot of myths. I want you to clear up some of them. A lot of people are scared about what could be coming. Let's talk to the mayor about that when we come back.
Ask the mayor, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio answering your questions. This morning, Justin Dixon with the North Louisiana Economic Partnership is also in studio with us because, Justin, you guys, some exciting news. The former GM plant, SLB now, a huge expansion.
Yes, we now call it the SLB plant.
Okay,
I don't even know what the other thing is you're talking about.
I could feel him tensing up when I said that. But you know,
we are going to break through this if it kills us. We're going to have some positivity coming up in here.
I hear you. But this is $30 million investment in back into this community. Another 600 employees. Tell us about this expansion.
Absolutely. You know, these projects, whether they're new or expansions, they take time, money, and effort to get there. We've been working with them on this for over a year. But yes, they committed to an additional 600 new well-paying jobs and another $30 million in capital investment. When people continue to invest and continue to expand the job and the workforce, that means they like what's going on. It's a great, great day.
And for somebody that's already here to now basically double down. their size and their investment, that speaks even better for our community and for what's going on, because they know they're not being sold a bill of goods saying, come here. They're here. They see what's happening.
Absolutely. And listen, when you're talking about our community, there's a lot going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, there's some positivity that you've never seen before.
It's exciting.
The council last night supported us 6-0 to give us a tool to go recruit a data center. The commission voted 12-0 to help SLB with some of their needs. You can't speak higher volumes. We are open for business, and we've got to keep that going, and SLB was part of that yesterday.
What percentage of that plant is SLB using now?
Oh, don't make me do math this morning, Aaron.
Do Northwood math.
They're about two.
She's making fun of me.
They're a little over 2 million square feet.
Okay.
And
out of
totals, a little over 3.
Wow.
And so 2/3 of it.
Oh, yeah, at least 2/3.
And we think of Schlumberger as an oil field company. What are they doing there? What are they doing here in Shreveport?
So, ironic, you know, with all the discussions going on around data centers, they are building digital infrastructure. That means they are building equipment for data centers. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, here's the thing. A lot of times where these data centers go, and they're great projects, and I've seen them, and I've visited them, and I've been to them, but they don't have a supply network. We have a supply network here. We have SLB, which is growing, Fibermon, ModuleX, Gordon Inc., a lot of these companies supplying these data centers. So the ripple effect we could have if we were two data centers would be pretty incredible.
the 600 additional jobs, are you optimistic? And the mayor can answer this. Either one is fine. Are they going to be local people, or are we going to pipe in people from out of town?
So their original was 596. I believe they're at 660, or they were a couple of weeks ago. Over half of those came from Caddo Parish.
Oh, cool.
The other, another third came from Northwest Louisiana. And out, after that, it just kind of spreads out all over everywhere.
So yeah, me, it's good to bring new people
Let me break in here. One of the things that we are trying to do in Shreveport is to increase our population.
Good point.
And so bringing in people who were not here to populate our city and to infill.
With good jobs.
Develop with good jobs. That is not a negative.
And they can buy houses, and they can do all the things that we have in our community.
Exactly.
That's a great
right.
point.
Absolutely. What did I just say? It's good to bring new people
yeah,
in.
Absolutely. When will the hiring of these new 600 new jobs start?
Immediately. Immediately. Wow. They're hiring every day.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk data centers in the next half hour.
Oh, boy.
Can you stay, Justin?
I can't. I can't stay in the next hour. I'm sorry.
No, just okay. for the next maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because we want to make sure we cover everything. All the negatives that everybody is saying, here's your chance. We're going to try to dispel what everyone is saying out there about your, you know, your water and your electric rates and noise. And we're going to get to all of it.
Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, along with Justin Dixon from the NLEP, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Ask the Mayor, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault stays in studio with us for an hour every month answering your questions. Justin Dixon with the North Louisiana Economic Partnership also in here. Let's talk data center, fellas.
And the myths.
And yeah, myths and facts.
Mm-hmm.
At the original meeting, there was a lot of concern at the MPC meeting. But let's talk about the Shreveport City Council meeting because it went a little bit better.
Yep.
Well, I think it did. First of all, there just to put the perspective, there were more supporters. Probably my estimate is about twice as many supporters there as there were opponents, and there were more people who spoke in favor mm-hmm. than who spoke in opposition. There is, I believe, broad community support for this very important economic development project. And I was very much encouraged by what happened at the council yesterday.
Justin, lots of people are saying it's going to increase our electric bills, mine, Mike's, yours, Mayor Tom's, and that has been that they cite data where it's happened before. Is that an old school thing that it happened before? And it's are we sure that my rates aren't going to go up because of the data center?
Yeah, I think to places like Virginia where they came in droves. I think there's 600 plus data centers up there. They came in faster than they could plan for it. But I believe the absolute best way that we can address that is the way SWEPCO addressed it. When they were asked by the council, will this increase rates? No, was the emphatic answer.
Mm-hmm. And you're confident of that.
So SWEPCO says no.
Absolutely. I'm confident in SWEPCO.
Okay. And will they have to build more power plants to accommodate? They're building two more. Entergy is, I think, in Rayville. Will we have to have more electric power plants here?
Gosh, I hope so. You know, SWEPCO was asked that question last night, and they said they will always keep up with demand. They are charged okay. with delivering power, and if they need to build generation, they will.
The water. Do we have enough water in the lake? People talk about the Cross Lake's got silts, and it's going to be a... Mayor Arsenault, are you confident we can supply the water this data center will need without increasing our water rates?
Absolutely.
No question at all.
No question at all. It's a huge reservoir, and the primary reason that we use additional water sometimes in the summer is just... It's not just the water supply. It's also a recreational mm-hmm. Recreational lake. And so we want to maintain its level. But we have plenty of water. This will not affect it. And 100% of the cost of both the water and wastewater infrastructure to serve this data center will be paid for by the developer. There's no city cost to that whatsoever. So what we're basically getting is a very large customer for both water and sewer. They'll pay the regular industrial rates. They're not getting any price break at all on that. And so our only cost will be the marginal cost of providing the water. I mean, it's treated water, so it has a cost just like it costs us to treat your water.
Right.
And it costs us to carry it away afterwards, so we'll have that cost. But there's a profit margin in there that will be very beneficial. So I think what will happen rate-wise is this will actually produce downward pressure. Now, our water rates are not going to go down.
Sure.
And primarily, that's because of the consent decree. We're going to have to undertake some pretty massive construction in the next, hopefully, 20 years. And that will require some rate increases, but this project will help forestall some of those rate increases or make them smaller than they otherwise would have to be. So it's a plus on water rates.
Mayor, what do you say to the people like have left messages on the message board that say, man, we can't get water pressure here in East Shreveport already, and now you want to add more 4 million gallons? What do you say to those?
Sorry, Mayor, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in. One of the things that the company is, you know, if they were to come here, would be they would need to possibly build additional elevated tanks.
So more
at their
water
cost,
towers.
Which would mean better water pressure without the city having to pay for it. So,
Like Libby Glass did years ago.
Absolutely.
They have a water tower at that plant.
Why all the secrecy? That's been a real big criticism.
That's right.
Why all the secrecy that we don't? The residents are saying, "Well, we can't know this. Y'all have signed NDAs. Why don't we get to know who this is and all that?"
Listen, I think Mike Busada said it best. You know, it's not the best process, but this is the process in economic development across the country and across the world. You know, there's proprietary information that all these companies are trying to get out there to try to capitalize on. And it's just the way it goes. And so it's not that they're keeping. As a matter of fact, there is going to be another community meeting. I believe it's on the 16th. We're not involved. We will be there, though. But, you know, you got to get these questions asked before you can commit the dollars.
Okay.
You got to get these questions answered before you get the dollars. So it's the process. Is it a clean process? No, but it's the process with every project we do.
Thank you, Justin, for coming in. I know you got a bolt. The mayor's going to stay. We got to talk 50 Cent, lots of other issues.
But it's Ask the Mayor, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor, Mike and McCarty, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, along with Justin Dixon with the North Louisiana Economic Partnership.
One more thing we didn't get to about the myths. Justin, talk about the noise. People are saying you're going to have this loud bass rumble and it's going to be disturbing to the neighborhood. Discuss that. Is that a problem?
So I have been to these hyperscaler data centers. You and I could have a conversation just like we're having right now, right up against it. They are going to comply with all noise requirements placed upon them by the mayor and the city and everybody else. They want to be good partners, but that be wastewater, that be water consumption, that be whatever it is, noise, they are going to comply with all restrictions that are in place.
Before the city council, we anticipate they are appealing to the Shreveport City Council on the 18th. If it's approved by the city council at that point, what time does dirt? When does dirt first turn?
I mean, we'll have to get a project first, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure, but if it doesn't happen on the 18th, we might not be turning dirt. Period.
So this might be it. If the council says
pretty
no,
important.
Then and or postpones it or anything like that, they may move on.
I think all the council people said yesterday, we have got to send the message that we are open for business. So it's not just this other this opportunity. It could be many, many opportunities.
The mayor said earlier, look, this is a death knell if we don't approve this for future economic development in our area.
But let me spin this one last thing, and it spins the wrong word. Let me lay it out the way it is. 6-0 vote last night by the council.
Kudos.
And then a unanimous vote on the SLB project by the commission. Listen, there's some people out here that have some concerns. I get it. We're going to listen to those concerns. But there's a lot of elected officials that want to see progress in Northwest Louisiana, Shreveport, and Caddo Parish. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what we're going to do.
It's exciting news. We will keep up on it and follow it. Thank you, Justin, for coming in. Absolutely. Mayor Arsenault, I want to switch gears just a minute to the city council passed a measure yesterday dealing with how state money will be used with regard to the 50 cent project. A, we don't have the state money committed yet, do we?
Not yet, but I think you'll see an announcement about that soon.
Okay. And how is the... Before Christmas? Yes? He's nodding his head yes.
I'm nodding, Mike.
I'm hopeful. It's wishful thinking. It's hopeful.
I'm not optimism. I'm not at liberty because that hasn't been set, but I'm hopeful it will be before Christmas.
Okay. What did the council pass yesterday that deals with this? How it will be spent? What's the process?
The council has already set up the economic development district for it. This is the Economic Development Corporation that will manage the funds that come in.
Okay.
And so it is true that it's described as a nonprofit. It's really an economic development corporation, a special purpose economic development corporation that will deal with these issues. So the money will come in. They will decide how the monies are going to be spent, under what conditions, and that will largely be the result of the agreement between G Unit or whoever's making the agreement on behalf of Mr. Jackson and the state. And I think they are in the final stages of that, and I think you'll see an announcement pretty soon about how that's going to work.
Part of the delay for Millennium Studios build-out for G Unit has been flooding issues. Have those been remediated or
They haven't been remediated yet. There are several different options. As always with construction and engineers, there's the horse and wagon version, and then there is the mainstream automobile version, and then there's the Lamborghini version. And so we're trying to decide which of those vehicles we're going to use.
Okay. Regardless, all roads lead to Shreveport.
Roads lead to Shreveport. That's exactly right.
Now, will you or the council have any override authority over what that committee, I lost the term you use, how the money is spent? Will y'all have some oversight?
No, that's going to be state dollars.
Okay.
It's going to be state dollars, and the state's going to make the decisions.
Okay, so how they spend it doesn't need to come before the council?
I don't believe so.
Okay, and you're happy with that?
Not my money.
But it's not a blank check that's going to Curtis Jackson.
No. There'll be all kinds of conditions and performance requirements and that kind of thing. I have received some information about that. I'm very comfortable with what it's going to do.
But StageWorks is still on go, right?
Yeah, StageWorks is still on go. They're occupying StageWorks.
So they're there.
They're there.
Has any filming begun or anything?
I don't believe that it has, but they're going to start with, I think, what they call unscripted stuff, reality kind of stuff there, because that's easier to do. And I'm hopeful that once the state deal is done and announced, that will begin.
The dome, they've gotten the final environmental clearance. It looks like they're ready to start construction. Do we have any permits that have been filed?
I do not know whether the permits have been pulled or not.
Okay.
My guess is that you'll see something very shortly with respect to the state deal, and that is more involved in the state deal than with the leases with the city.
Still moving forward with Humor and Harmony Festival for March, or has something happened with that?
Uh, I I do not know whether it's going to happen in March or not. There were a lot of calendar conflicts and facility conflicts there, and so I'm not sure how that's going to shake out.
And that's at Independence Stadium, right?
Well, that was part of that issue, as well as hotel and motel rooms and competition with other conventions. I mean, there were a lot of logistical issues with that, so I'm not sure that that's it. I'm sure it's going to – I'm pretty comfortable that it'll happen in 2026. I'm just not sure when.
Okay.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio along with Justin Dixon. It's Ask the Mayor, brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor. Mike and McCarty, we've got about 2 minutes left.
One more thing, Justin. If a big data center like this one comes, does it attract new ones, other ones?
So I would hope so. I know in Virginia, in Dallas, in Atlanta, it has in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we're planning for it.
Mayor, I know you're very, very efficient. You have all your life been an efficient attorney. Are there any negatives in this deal that you have concerns about?
Nothing is ever 100% positive,
mm-hmm.
but the concerns that people have raised simply are not concerns in the structure of this particular transaction.
The tax deal. People are concerned about, why are we giving up taxes? Why are they getting this big tax break?
Well, we're giving up taxes that we haven't received.
Okay. But they're going to pay, they're going to pay a lump sum fee. Is that what they're going to do?
Annually. And listen, we're actually putting taxes in state legislation to abolish all sales tax on these. And we're saying, hey, if you come here, you're going to pay a sales tax.
Okay.
So we're putting it back on.
Gotcha.
Guys, thank you so much. We've got to get this done. Got to get this done. We appreciate you coming in. Ask the Mayor, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Seven FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Weather Channel meteorologist Richard Llewelling joining us. Richard, good morning to you, my lad.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. But then again, I don't work outside. A little nipply outside right now, but it's not near what it's about to be, is it?
No, it's going to turn a lot colder as we move into the latter half of the weekend, as a big Arctic air mass is going to drop into parts of the Ohio Valley and Tennessee Valley. We're going to be on the western edge of it, and we're going to see a night where we're going to have temperatures down in the mid-20s, but just as quick as the cold air comes in, it's going to quickly retreat.
Yes.
And believe it or not, I was looking at the numbers as we move on out toward Christmas. And some incredible warmth coming as we get toward Christmas. In fact, this could probably be the third warmest Christmas on record in Shreveport if the temperature trends keep going the way they're going right now.
Richard, we're looking at close to 75 degrees on Christmas Eve.
I know, isn't that amazing?
That's what
south and southwest winds will do for you. And,
wow.
That's exactly what we're going to be looking at. You know, there's only, you know, I was going back through the records for Shreveport to get an idea of the warmest Christmas. And the warmest is actually in 1964 when it was 83 degrees on Christmas Day.
Oh, goodness.
Now, could you imagine that?
I don't live in Florida.
Yeah, but the coldest was 20 degrees, and that was back in 1983. And it was 6 degrees that morning.
Whew.
Well, I remember that 1983 winter. That was
a brutal winter for much of the Mid South, and you know, I remember that. I mean, we had a ditch out in front of our house, and it froze solid. We lived in North Mississippi when I was a kid, and I think it was like 20 below. I mean, it was like 20 below at night, and that ditch froze solid, and we got out there with cardboard boxes and used that to slide across a frozen ditch. And I just remember how frigid that was in that late December, early January time frame. We had pipes bust in the wall. It was, you know, so cold.
Well, it looks like one night, 25 degrees. That's going to be this coming Sunday night. But then, like you say, it warms up pretty quickly. And Richard, I'm looking at the extended forecast all the way to Christmas Day. There's no measurable rain or precipitation. I mean, anything significant for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's looking like there may be something as we get out toward beyond Christmas, probably around the 26th is when we're probably going to see our next best opportunity for rain, because that southwest flow is going to tap the southern jet, and it's going to allow for some moisture to come up from the Pacific and Old Mexico. But, you know, overall, it looks like what's going to happen is once this Arctic air retreats, the ridge that's been dominant across the west is going to start to break down. And we're already starting to see signs of that, that ridge starting to break down. And once this cold air mass goes through, we may be done with the cold air for, you know, the rest of the year. It looks like we're going to stay fairly mild all the way out through the end of this year. So, you know, if you're looking for, you know, warmer temperatures, we're definitely going to be getting that, especially as we move on out toward the middle part of next week and beyond.
Well, the problem is, Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel, we need a stretch of some nice cold weather to kill these mosquitoes and larvae.
Yeah, we sure do. And I think that we're probably going to get some of that, you know, later on. I think, you know, it's going to be one of these type winters that I think we're just going to get these little spits and spurts of cold weather that's going to be around for like a day or two, and then it's going to warm up for 5 or 6 days, and then we'll get another blast of cold air. You know, overall, the trends for, you know, the 3-month period for December, January, and February, it's been advertising that, you know, much of the South is going to be dealing with above average temperatures, and you know, the better chances for above average precipitation is further down to the south and east. You know, it looks like areas from the Florida Panhandle and southeast Louisiana have the better shots of getting some precipitation down that way. But you know, it just doesn't look like, you know, anything promising in regards to, you know, super cold weather, you know, to kill off the bugs. So, you know, this may be one of these winters that, you know, we don't only get a couple of good chances to see some cold, and then we're right back into the warmth.
So review before we let you go. When does this cold front arrive, and does it come with any winter precip?
It doesn't come with any winter precipitation. It looks like there will be the Arctic front come through Saturday night. Saturday night's low will drop to 38, only 41 on Sunday, and then we drop to 25 Sunday night, and then the mid-40s on Monday, and then it looks like after that we can just go back into the warmth, upper 50s by Tuesday, near 70 Wednesday and Thursday, and lots of sunshine in the forecast. There may be a sprinkle or two in there Tuesday afternoon as the winds start to shift back around to the south and west.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel, thanks for always jumping on with us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Looks like you're going to have to shave your head. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well. Okay, we'll see.
It looks like that's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
My buddy Scott Tarkowski already stopped in Houghton and made a donation.
We're going to check with Chica. Our dear friend Chica is at the Brookshires in Houghton for Operation Santa Claus. We'll take a quick break. Tim Fletcher's got sports. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And we are back. Our Operation Santa Claus elves are out and about this morning. They are in front of the Brookshires in Houghton until 9 o'clock this morning. And Chica must be running and playing in traffic because we can't get a hold of her. So she's probably playing. My buddy.
We had that problem last time, if you remember.
Yes.
I think Tuesday we couldn't get a hold of her.
She plays in traffic. She stops cars and makes them come in and donate. My buddy Scott Tarkowski already stopped by this morning. He's really wanting to see me bald-headed. So he dropped off a donation this morning. Here's the deal. If you haven't heard, if we get to $20,000 by Monday, I've agreed to shave my head bald.
Right.
I did it about 5 years ago and said at the time I would never do it again. Well, they came to me and they said, look, we need some help. We got to get some bikes. And cash is the way to buy bikes because they can buy them in bulk.
Right.
And so they can go out and they can
Fire department can get them cheaper than we can. Then you can go out and just buy one yourself.
Absolutely. So if you want to help, they're in Houghton this morning until she's ready now, Ruben, FYI, we think. I think we got her out of traffic. But they'll be there till 9. They're at Batteries Plus tomorrow during the lunch hour.
Is that on Uri?
Yes.
Okay.
There are you can donate online. You can see it on my Facebook page where you can get the link. We're already up to almost 13,000 now, so we still need about $7,000. And Houghton is always big for us.
I'm a little nervous. I got to be honest. I'm a little nervous. Chica is on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. The way this morning is looking, y'all might as well change the name from Mike and McCarty to Chico and the Bald Lady.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Looking good.
Oh, you're getting a lot of cash.
I'll just leave.
No, Chico. You get it? You're the Chico.
You're the Chico.
Anyway.
So money's coming in?
Yes. Money's coming in. Let me tell you something. I saw this red truck parked ready to go. And this guy walks out, Mr. Good here. You already know it's Scott Tarkowski. This guy unloads bicycles out of his truck.
Wow.
And he said, these are all for Aaron McCarty. He goes, and he looks over at Mr. Calvin, goes, would I write that check out to again? And he said, yeah. He claims his buddy's going to have a bald head. So we already got people showing up just for that one mission and one mission only. To shave that head. But here's the best part. We're doing it for a great cause. And
right.
I don't think people realize this, is that this year has been a little extra tough.
Yeah.
And for some reason, compared to most years, and yes, we're begging this year. Like, golly, we got you shaving your head.
Yeah,
like,
really.
This is how much we're begging, and we are so far behind where we've been in the past. Don't know what triggered it, don't know what's going on, don't know why it's happening, but there has never been more of an urgency to collect these funds and to actually make Christmas happen for our kids in our community. So I say all that to say, everybody that's donated, whether they're being funny about it, somebody said, could I donate so she doesn't shave her head? And I said, can you give us an extra 20? What can you do? But it's just been so wonderful to see our community show up and show out. We got people driving in from all over just to see us in Houghton because they know this is our last official Operation Santa Claus stop. So I feel really good about today, y'all. I really do. I mean, we got bicycles donated already. We got people showing up with checks. I think we're going to hit that mark by Monday.
Okay. One more thing before we let you go. I have promised, and I'm urging anybody that I've ever texted in the morning, you up. Because I have texted that to thousands of people chasing interviews.
Right.
If I've ever texted you the words, you up, I want you to pony up. $20, $100, whatever you can afford to get to the 20,000 mark. We need to do it by Monday. Chica, thanks, and thank everybody in Houghton for me. I love them all.
Hey, well, I don't know how much they love you. They're trying to look at you bald. So, but it doesn't matter. We're doing it all for the kids. Okay, I'll see you later.
I got a sexy bald head. They like my sexy bald head. You leave me alone.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just, maybe Mike can donate some of his beard to keep you warm. I don't know. We'll shave it all on top of your head. A little toupee, as it were.
Yeah, bye, Chica.
We got more money coming. Oh, you're going to shave that head.
Oh, God.
Have a great day.
All right,
we'll
bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Chica at the Brookshires in Houghton out on Highway 80. If you want to stop by, if you're in that area, please stop by. Monetary donations are the best because the fire department can take that money and go further than you could.
Absolutely.
And she'll be there till 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. By the way, coming up, there's a huge street party.
Yes.
Downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night.
That's going to be cool.
It's going to be fine. We got Rebecca Bonnevere going to join us in studio telling us all about it. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I haven't seen you in far too long. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Rebecca Bonnevere, you're the executive director for the Shreveport Regional Arts Council.
Yes, my pleasure.
And when I was across the street, I'm going to move this microphone. You got to be.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm right here.
There you go.
Right in front of it there. When I was across the street, you came in and like guest hosted with me before. So we go back a ways.
We do go back.
I don't know if you remember.
Of course.
And
I
you
know.
Were with the it was the CenturyLink at the
back
time.
Back then it was.
At the Brookshire Grocery
And now we
Arena.
Both have white hair and we're still chucking.
And y'all are only 39. I know.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get some stuff that's been in the news out of the way first.
Sure.
Cuz you got a huge event coming up that I want to
know. We've got some fun stuff to talk about.
Big time. SRAC was on blast for using AI images. The arts community was up in arms. Y'all used some AI images, apparently, to promote a cookie event. What happened? What went wrong? And where are we going now?
Well, we purchased an image that was generated through AI. We did purchase it. But it's not so much that I want to focus on what happened, but on the emotion that we saw from our community. And I think that's really, really important that as the Arts Council, we listen to the needs, the concerns of our artist community. And, you know, the reaction really brought to our attention that people want to learn more about AI. There's some fears on, you know, what it could be in every industry, but for us artists. And so we're hosting a forum. And it's in early January, January 8th, and we have a place. We're working on signing the contract and having a professional facilitator. But it's really important that we have an impartial facilitator. It be in a neutral location so that everybody's comfortable coming, being able to voice their concerns. And we really want to learn more about their concerns so that we can then set up a series of artist talks and some educational seminars to address how we can live in this atmosphere of technology as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. So y'all are going to obviously be making changes, adjustments based on what you hear from that, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so part of this was, yes, we need to really think about policy and especially in artist calls and things as well in our own marketing. But, you know, our job is also to listen to how we can help support our artist community. And so I think this is a great opportunity. It brought to our attention something that's very timely, and we need to talk more about it, learn about it, and then help educate.
Can you stay with us? Because you got a very cool event I want to hear about.
Love to.
Cool.
Rebecca Bonnevere in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Executive Director of the Shreveport Regional Arts Council, Rebecca Bonnevere, joining us in studio. I thought it was Saturday night, so I misspoke earlier. It's Saturday from 11 to 4. Tell me about this street party. What are you doing and what's it for?
Well, Santa Calls You downtown to Texas Street in downtown Shreveport this Saturday, December 13th. It's really a party that is set to celebrate the exhibit that we have at ArtSpace called A Joyful Holiday, featuring the Glitter Kittens.
And Bill Joyce.
It is.
Oh, I didn't even know. That's awesome.
Yeah. So his book that just came out in October, Glitter Kittens, a book last year that he did with his Rocket Puppies, and then one from the 90s, Santa Calls. And, mm-hmm. you know, the exhibit is set up to kind of take you through a story book of all of the characters and how they have to come together and help Santa. But this particular street party out front is really, really cool. It's free, and we have all sorts of entertainment, hands-on arts activities, s'more-making stations. People can come down. Again, everything free. And because we're talking about Glitter Kittens and Rocket Puppies, we've invited the crew of Barkus and Meow.
Nice.
They will be bringing the pet royalty, and will also be hosting a pet fashion show. We have a live band, Tipsy the Band, that'll be performing. There's just all sorts of really cool activities, food trucks, arts market, 11 to 4 downtown in the 700 block of Texas Street.
Now, you're making s'mores? Am I hearing that right?
Bring it on.
Oh, yep. Wow. And hands-on stuff for all the kids. Bring the kids. Bring them all.
Yes, yes. And if you want to bring your pets, maybe they want to participate in the pet fashion show.
Oh, how fun.
So they can sign up.
A pet fashion show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and we want everybody to come downtown. We have a lot of great things happening in downtown. There's some great restaurants and great places to shop. And of course, the exhibit is free as well. So we want everybody to come inside, warm up, and get to experience the beautiful exhibit we have on William Joyce.
Explain where it is. Is it right in front of ArtSpace?
It's right in front of ArtSpace, 708 Texas Street. That whole block will be shut down. And right in the middle of the street, all sorts of tables for activities and stage for a whole lot of entertainment.
And like you said, everything's free, but if the food vendors, you pay for that, obviously.
You do pay for, but, you know, the s'mores are free, the hands-on art is free, the exhibit is free. There's other organizations with tables that are doing demonstrations and things like that.
Rebecca, everybody is always looking for things at the holidays, at Christmas, to make memories with their families. It doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, so we actually have been working very intently with the Visit Shreveport Bossier folks, and this exhibit is something that we've committed to each year for the next 5 years at the holidays. Each year's growing. We'll add more characters and more stories with William Joyce, and so I think that people can look forward to that for the next several years. And to be honest, we believe we have a wonderful hero here, or I don't know if the word is hero, but Bill Joyce is just a treasure.
I was just about to say, if somebody doesn't recognize William Joyce, mm-hmm. his published name, mm-hmm. Bill Joyce, he's a Shreveport boy done good.
Oh yeah,
he's an Oscar winner, mm-hmm. by the way.
He is, and he chooses Shreveport. He chooses to stay here.
Sure.
He could move somewhere else, but he loves Shreveport like I love Shreveport, and we're so blessed to have him. And I really hope after the next 5 years, as everybody sees this exhibit grow, that we'll be able to host like a museum, maybe a permanent museum where kids could come all year long to come and visit his works and things. So,
that'd be incredible.
You know what? I almost forgot to tell you that Mrs. Claus is going to be there.
Oh, is she really?
She's coming to the street party early, around 11:30 on Saturday. So Santa has really been packing up the sled and trying to get things ready. But Mrs. Claus will be there. So Okay. Come on down.
Wonderful. This event is going on this Saturday from 11 to 4 right there in downtown Shreveport. It's exciting. It's going to be a big event.
700 block of Texas.
Please mm-hmm. join us, and it's free.
Oh, that's so cool.
Executive
thanks for coming
Director
in.
Director of SREC, Rebecca Bonnevere, thank you so much.
Wonderful to see you all and be here.
We will talk to you again soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
And we are back this morning, and we want to clear up something because it's a little bit Well, I'm going to be honest. The folks at the Independence Bowl are a little bit miffed this morning.
What are we
talking
about? I'm
sorry. The Independence Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little bit ticked. And you can see the details at keelnews.com.
It's all over the Facebook.
Yep, it's all up on social media. Bowl Chair Sarah Giglio says, despite what you may have seen or heard, no team rejected a bowl bid from the Independence Bowl. You may have seen posts saying that Kansas State and Iowa State, I believe, didn't want to come to Shreveport, so they'd rather pay a $500,000 fine to the Big 12 instead of coming here. She says, and I'm quoting, that is simply BS. That it didn't happen like that.
Right.
And perhaps what has happened is that there are several teams that have decided not to go to bowl games, including Baylor and Notre Dame and Auburn. The list goes on. Several teams have decided we're not going to play in a bowl game this year because of whatever reason. Kansas State and Iowa are two that did opt out, and they were probably on the list of teams that could come here. Well, when we realize that they're not going to go to a bowl game, they never were extended an invitation to play in the game.
Right.
Okay, I think Kansas State may have been the Independence Bowl may have been the only bowl game they could have come to. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but they weren't going to play in a bowl game. Their teams voted; they said no. But to put it out there like it was Shreveport is the reason they didn't go to a bowl game, I think that's kind of malarkey.
And it. So I don't know, surprisingly, is that the right word? Aaron, a lot of programs decided not to do bowl games. I'm sorry, I came in a little late. I don't know if you mentioned that already, but there's 10 or 11 schools that have said, we're just not going to a bowl game this year.
Yes, they're just not going to go. Including
Auburn, I mean, some SEC Division I programs.
Yes, Florida State. UCF, Baylor, Rutgers, Temple, Kansas State, Iowa State, Kansas, Notre Dame. I mean, there's a long list. And for whatever reason, and it may be, and part of the problem is some of their kids might be entering the portal. And so they're not going to have enough kids to put a team up, which was the case of Marshall last year.
That's right.
They didn't have enough kids to man a team. And so they opted out of coming to the Independence Bowl, and Louisiana Tech stepped in at the last minute. But, to say that Shreveport is the reason they opted out of going to a bowl, I think was taking a leap. And maybe I'm wrong, but it was taking a leap. And it's something that really ticked off the bowl chairman. Sarah Giglio was not happy.
And Sarah mentioned, and she said, and I've heard this before, teams have reached out to the Independence Bowl after they've been here and said, that was an incredible experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Our guys loved being there. It was awesome. You guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Tech for the game December 30th. They're coming. They'll be here.
Coming up, Ursula Bowman is going to join us talking about her recent trip to Virginia to a data center.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. We had our Ask the Mayor yesterday, talked a lot about the data center. Justin Dixon with NLEP joined us, and Ursula Bowman is on the Shreveport City Council. Ursula, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
You recently made a trip to Virginia. Tell us about this trip and what you thought of this data center in Virginia.
I will. Thank y'all for having me this morning. Mm-hmm. It was a very informative turnaround trip to Virginia. We visited multiple data centers. We went on the roof of the data center so I could actually hear the generators click on. At one point, I didn't even know the generator was on. And I asked the guy that was showing me around, how did he know it was on? Because he saw the pipe at the top of the generator open. But it was that quiet. you never knew the generator was on. I walked into the cooling area where they cooled off the data center. Very quiet there. I did visit two neighborhoods right outside the data center, which was very quiet. No humming noise. Very, very quiet. They do have a retaining wall up just to help with, I guess, the industrial area of it. But right there, Mike, it's a shopping center right there by the data center, Target. It's a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Very modern buildings, very nice plants around the building, very nice buildings.
Ursula, excuse me, Ms. Bowman, did you get a chance to talk to any of the residents in the area? And you represent the area where this data center possibly could locate, and you're hearing from those residents. Did you get a chance to talk to any residents near this one that you visited, or these?
I didn't talk to anyone, didn't want to get into their privacy, but right. It was kids playing outside. It was a neighborhood just like some of the area around in the Pines Road, Greenwood area. And Aaron, to be frank, the reason why I went on the trip, and it wasn't a luxury trip. You went and turned around. It was an 8-hour workday. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see for myself so I could make sure the quality of life for my residents in that area wouldn't be impacted. And what could I do if the data center did go there? What could I do to help make things easier to make sure their quality of life is not affected?
Talking with Shreveport City Council Member Ursula Bowman. Ms. Bowman, have you seen plans about the proposed Shreveport data center? Are we looking at something like this, where it's going to be landscaped grounds and nice buildings and maybe a retaining wall?
Yes. The center that I did visit was the exact same center that would be here. This company is community, all about the community. They want to be great community partners, and that was important to me. They even did walking trails in these neighborhoods just to make the neighborhood feel more, I mean, give them something they needed. And it's something that I want to bring back, some ideals that I saw in Virginia to the residents in District G. Just to ease things, my main concern was if this company were going to be good community partners, and everything they showed me made me feel good about that. Because, you know, we can hear and read on Google all of the negative, but I'm going to be honest with you. The visit was a great visit. The company is a good company, top notch.
Is it the same company that's proposed to locate here? You're saying it's the same company?
Yes, it is, Erin.
Okay. Was the one you visited, was one of the ones you visited similar in size to what's being proposed here?
It was the same exact size, and it looks like a mini college.
What about people that were working there? Were there dozens or were there hundreds? We've heard different rumors, you know.
They do have three shifts. It's a 24-hour operation. So each shift that I've seen, and from my understanding, about 50 people work per shift.
So it is about 150, which is what they've pledged here, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's get into the concerns about the water. And I know you probably couldn't see that in a site visit, but do you have concerns about whether or not Shreveport's water supply can sustain such a data center? Will it impact our water pressure? Will it impact our bills? Are you convinced that we're okay on that front?
I am convinced with that, just from the study and talking to Mr. Sneed over the water department. I'm very concerned about it, but I am open-minded. They will need to do some upgrades to our water system, which would be a win for Shreveport, because we know we're lacking it in that area. I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. But this company would actually help us to get where we need to be with our water system and upgrade our water system.
Did you notice whether or not the existing site in Virginia had their own water tower there?
I didn't see a water tower, Mike, but I did see the cooling agents.
Okay.
I didn't see all of, you know, how they cooled everything. I think the main concern for me was what my residents had been asking about was the noise, just the infrastructure around. That was my main concern. And what we can do is I'll be glad to come back on, come to the show with Brandon's meet and talk more. Once we get into in-depth to make sure we're going to do this data center, talk to the company to make sure, and we'll have everything in the agreement with the water, with the electricity, the Public Service Commission will be involved. So it won't be an easy task, but I'm going to make sure we dot the I's and cross the T's for our residents.
You sound today, Ursula Bowman, like you're a yes vote if you had to vote today. What are the top two or three concerns you still have before you could cast a yes vote?
To be honest, Erin, after just visiting this company, I really don't have any concerns. And to be honest, I wish that I could have brought anyone that had a concern on this visit.
Let me ask you a real tough question then. Do you think you were taken to a data center by whoever organized the trip? Were you taken to one of the best in, you know what I mean? You weren't taken to a poor performing.
But it's the same company that we're getting.
That's good to hear. Did you have a little worry about, y'all are taking me to the, top of the line place?
No, I didn't. I asked the hard questions. This center that you're showing me now, is this what we would have? I made sure I asked those questions because that's what I wanted to go to. That's what I want to visit. I'm very straightforward. So all of those questions were asked and answered before I even decided to go on the trip.
Another concern that residents have that we've heard a lot about are electricity bills are going to go up. It's going to cause all SWEPCO customers to have to pay more. Have you heard, was that addressed at all on your trip?
It was addressed. And we have to always remember, we'll have to keep our Public Service Commission accountable in this area. We'll need to make sure we work with SWEPCO and our Public Service Commission to make sure they do everything they do to protect us. But that's one of the things that I asked. It's one of my concerns. I do not want our electricity bills to go up because of this data.
Sure.
Center.
Well, let's
everything,
stay. Go ahead.
I'm watching it. Yeah. Everything that goes on, I'm taking notes. I have a couple of neighborhood meetings to go to today and next week about the data center. I'm going to show, if I can get clearance from the company, I'm going to show pictures that we took. We took a lot of pictures on the outside. We took a lot of pictures on the inside. We took pictures around the neighborhood. And I would like to share these pictures, but I will need to get clearance from the company.
We'd love to see those as well. Ursula Bowman, hope you will come in studio, bring Brandon Snead, bring whoever we need. We want the public to know everything about it, and I know you feel exactly the same way.
I do, and I want to tell y'all, have a happy holiday.
You bet.
Oh, thank you, Ursula. You
thanks.
Too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For joining us. Ursula Bowman, Shreveport City Council member. Great news. Sounds like a wonderful visit.
Definitely.
A lot of drama going on right now around the Independence Bowl, unfortunately, because we got a great matchup lined up, but there's been some negative comments on social media. Executive Director Missy Setters going to join us in about 20 minutes. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, our very own Chica calling us from Houghton, Brookshire's on Highway 80, Operation Santa Claus. Buenos dias, mi amiga.
Buenos dias.
How's Houghton doing? They doing good like they normally do?
I got a Mexican Santa here. What'd you say, sir?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
I've never seen a Santa this skinny or this tall, but he's cute. He'll do. It has been a beautiful morning here in Houghton, y'all. I got a good feeling. I got a good feeling in my bones that I'm going to need to start collecting beanies. I'm going to need to start collecting hats. I'm going to probably get you some cute wigs because we're going to shave that head.
Oh, no. They're bringing cash out? They're bringing do-re-mi's?
Okay, come on now. They're bringing it all to the tune of 20s and hundreds. People are going, hey, how do we donate online? What do we got going here? But yes, we did get a lot of toy donations already. Got a lot of bicycles. Obviously, shout out to your buddy Scott Tarkowski. He really did kick us off this morning with all those donations. And just it's been a really, really good morning. We're going to be here outside of the Brookshires in Houghton with Operation Santa Claus. You're going to drive by. You're going to see Shreveport Police. You're going to see a bunch of station vehicles, fire goodness, and just down Highway 80. Going to be here until 9 o'clock collecting all the money to shave McCarty's head. And, of course, it's for the children.
Now, if you can't be out to Houghton by 9 today, you're going to be out tomorrow, Batteries Plus, 7 to 9 in the morning. And then
going to be there.
Also tomorrow, there's one at Bailey's Fine Jewelry from 11 to 1. So you still have time to get out to those spots and donate. So we got still a lot of locations and a lot of places where you can donate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our mission is just to make it as easy for people to donate. So if you pull up, just open up that trunk. We got a whole bunch of Santa's elves here ready to help. And I'm not going to say I'll run to your car, but I'll do like a brisk walk, you know, and collect that 20, collect that 100.
Now, our goal is $20,000 by Monday. Mm-hmm. So we've got tomorrow and all weekend for Erin to, she's committed to shave her head if we reach $20,000.
And here's my call out to Shreveport businesses. Here's my call out to basically anybody who, you know, let's just be real. God has blessed a lot of businesses in our town this year.
You bet.
And if you have been finding unique ways to give back, if you've been finding something, right, to donate that'll make you feel good, I promise you, Operation Santa Claus, the longest running toy drive in Shreveport, all right? Mm-hmm. We got it started right there in that building, and what a beautiful thing of history. Obviously, this year it's a little rough. It's not been the easiest, But I got a feeling that we're going to pull it off, y'all. I know we could pull it off. And so if you got a business that everything went great this year and you're like, you know what? We want to keep it going. Let's keep that feel goodness. Let's keep putting that goodness out in the universe.
Absolutely.
So come donate. Operation Santa Claus. We would love to see you this morning.
Absolutely. Chica.
Mm-hmm. Chica at the Houghton Brookshires on Highway 80. Chica, thanks. Stay warm. And we'll see you when you get back with a big old wad of cash. Missy Setters, Executive Director of the Independence Bowl, joining us after the news. Bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Have I ever told you how much I love social media?
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a reason why I have not.
Mm-hmm. Missy, was she willing to go to jail yesterday? Did she really say that?
I got a post I want to read you from yesterday, and I'll do that when we get back from the break.
Oh, boy.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, let me read you a post from yesterday, and I'm quoting, "Ever have one of those days when your primary goal is to not get arrested? Today is my day." The author
today might be too.
Yeah, today also? Yeah. The author of that post, Missy Setters, Executive Director of the Independence Bowl, is on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. I don't want to sound like a smart aleck if I say, good morning, Missy.
Good morning.
Okay, some social media.
I know a bunch of good lawyers.
Thank goodness, yeah.
Wow.
Some social media posts went out yesterday, maybe the day before, saying that some of these teams would rather pay a $500,000 fine than play a bowl game in Shreveport. Your bowl chair, Sarah Giglio, and I'm quoting, said, that's BS. What the hell went wrong with this?
Well, I think it's important to look at how bowl selections work, especially within the Big 12, one of our partners. And on the Big 12 side, there's a selection process. And it's my understanding, any bowl in that lineup can pick any team they want that's bowl eligible. So about 2 weeks
before the end of the season, the last game of the season, we were actually told at that time that Houston, TCU, possibly Iowa State, Cincinnati, and Kansas State might all be in our mix. And you go down the line and the Bulls choose. And so there were a number of teams that could have been in our mix based on how the Bulls ahead of us picked. And you're looking at Bulls in San Antonio, Orlando, Houston, Memphis, Phoenix, and Shreveport in that lineup. So we don't know which team we would have gotten at this point.
Did you invite Kansas State to the Independence Bowl or Iowa State to the Independence Bowl?
No, invitations were never sent out. We found out about there was some inkling about Kansas State, I think, starting on Thursday. And as of Saturday night, we thought that that had been resolved. And then Sunday morning on Selection Sunday, it wasn't completely resolved. And then Iowa State also spoke up and said they were not going to play in a bowl game. No invitations had been sent out to anybody. And that usually happens on Selection Sunday, and it can't happen until after the CFP show is on, unless it's there's a couple of the ESPN bowls that are early in the bowl season, and they can do their invitations in advance. But as far as the Big 12 and our partners in general, those selections and invitations are not made until probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
And y'all already had known at that time that those two teams were opting out.
Yes.
Okay.
Did Kansas State say why they decided not to play in a bowl game at all?
Well, I think both of the schools had reasons related to coaches and staff and also player availability. But we didn't have that conversation. The conferences have those conversations with their members, and so that's how it works.
So nobody said we don't want to come to Shreveport.
No, and in fact, we send selection committee members out to various games during the season, and the feedback we get is always good. And we've had Iowa State in our game. We had Kansas State years ago. We have scouted Baylor, Kansas, Iowa State, TCU, Houston. We've scouted just about everybody in that conference, and the feedback we get is good. And I think you have to look at it from the overall picture of the hospitality that this bowl shows to those teams, and the way that we treat them, the events that we plan for them while they're here. We have a schedule of events this year that is second to none. The only thing we don't have is a beach, but we've got a fantastic schedule of events here for them this year.
Talking with Missy Setters, Executive Director of the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Missy, I like what Sarah said in her statement. She said, we've gotten calls from teams who had previously participated in our bowl, calling us from whatever other bowl they're at, saying they wish they were back in Shreveport.
We have gotten those calls. We have heard from teams that played in our game, who played in other games the previous year, and they've told us what a great experience they had in our game. We had one team that was a repeat a few years apart, and they said the second time around was even better. And so we do get really good feedback on the bowl, the people, the hospitality, the events, everything that's involved in bowl week for them.
Let me ask you a question. You, Sarah Giglio, the chair of the bowl, the other bowl committee members, y'all are in the room on Sunday. Y'all are making the decisions. Y'all know what exactly happened. And then you see that, you know, we were snubbed because these teams don't want to come to Shreveport. When you see that post out there, whoever, I don't care who put it out there, on a scale of 1 to 10, how ticked were y'all yesterday?
Not wanting to go to jail. That's how ticked she was.
I will just say that it was disheartening for our community. It was disheartening for the hundreds of volunteers who put their time and effort into this. The people that are our volunteer leadership, they join the foundation, they get involved, they volunteer for committees, they volunteer for events. These people have day jobs. They work regular jobs, and they come volunteer their time for this bowl. And this bowl is here to be a light out in the rest of the country for this community, and to bring in economic impact. And when you're bringing in, you know, $9 million in direct and indirect spending and a total of $30 million in economic impact in a year, and you're highlighting your bowl and your community on ESPN, that's invaluable exposure for your community. And so it's, I will say, it's very disheartening.
Missy, you know, that brings up a great point, because if somebody is going to make the argument where, first of all, it didn't happen, but you could say, well, this team opted not to play in a bowl because they were going to go to Shreveport. That wasn't the case. But for that to be their perspective, for that to be the angle that they want to take, to me says more about that post and that person's attitude than it does the Independence Bowl.
Well, I think you just said that very succinctly, Mike.
One more thing. You and I have a professional history going back many years, and I'm going to ask you one more question. Only two teams were invited to the Independence Bowl, Louisiana Tech and Coastal Carolina. Accurate?
Accurate.
Perfect. I trust her completely. I mean, I really do.
Oh, I do too, of course.
I'm sad for the fact that y'all had to go through that yesterday. But I got bail money if you need it, all right?
We'll call it character building, right?
I love it. Yeah. Thank you, Missy.
Missy Setters, have y'all a great weekend. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
Aaron.
Dang.
Aaron.
Oh, man. Mr. D just came by.
Bust the hats out.
Oh, God.
I can't say.
Turn her mic on. Get right close to that. This is Brooke. She's in charge of all our money. What is this,
Brooke? Town Square Media.
This is $7,000 cash money.
Oh, man.
Just dropped off just now.
Mm-hmm. From our buddy Doug. And he actually said it wasn't his money. He said it came from Beau Rivage.
And they're not getting it back.
No, straight from a casino.
Wow. It's $100 bills stacked. Yes. Bundles of money. One bundle of $2,000 and another bundle of $5,000.
Okay, can I hold
yes.
that? I just want to hold
this. Gets us over the top, doesn't it?
It gets us to where we need to be. I'm pretty positive we should be there now.
Wow.
Oh, OMG.
Mr. Doug did call yesterday about 1 o'clock and wanted to make sure he came and brought this while you guys were here in the studio, because he wanted to hand it to you personally and tell you to set that appointment.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh, man. So we
Grace
made
Ann,
it.
Grace Ann's listening. We know she's listening.
Yeah. Get the razor sharp, please. And get some goop that you can put on my head. Yeah.
Some head goop.
Oh,
can't forget
my
the head goop.
Goodness.
I don't think I've ever been in the same room with that amount of money.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
you should
crazy.
Have been there the other day when they laid $10,000 on the table. This is right there with it. This is right there. Look at
Unreal.
That picture. Holding up $7,000. That's
oh my goodness,
Aaron. That's above and beyond.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's just incredible. And you know the best part about Operation Santa Claus is you say it all the time. It's local kids, man.
It's going to local children that wouldn't. It sounds hyperbole, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these kids would not have Christmas.
Right.
If it weren't for the efforts of people like Doug and the Shreveport Fire Department and the Shreveport Police Department.
And BJ from the other day.
And BJ and all of our people that have stopped by our Brookshire's locations and are going to go by Batteries Plus tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And just we can't thank you enough. I'm humbled. I really am. I'm humbled.
It really truly
and
is
very
amazing.
Touched.
And I, you know, if I lose my hair and I'm, you know, it's gonna take me a month or two to grow it back and I look like a cue ball for a little while, but I helped 1,000+ children get a Christmas. Who, you know, when they're asked what they want for Christmas, a lot of these kids put down things like shoes.
Anything
would be a great gift. It is absolutely stunning to learn about children that are right here in our community that may not have a Christmas at all without our help. It really is stunning. It truly is.
Doug, thank you so much. And he didn't say his last name. He doesn't want to know. So
Downtown he Christmas Run, by the way, is today, 6 o'clock. If you want to participate in that, they're doing a Downtown Christmas Run. And it will help bring your cash out. All the cash will be donated to Operation Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
So definitely a big event for our Operation Santa Claus, too.
What a great way to end this morning.
Absolutely.
$7,000 cash.
Yes. I highly doubt we'll get $7,000, but we will also be a donation location at Tiki Bar this Saturday for Opossum War Our Thousand Christmas Show.
There we go.
And they're also, again, at Batteries Plus tomorrow from 7 to 9 and at Bailey's Jewelry from 11 to 1 tomorrow.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Merry Christmas.